Welcome to this talk about extending Python. This will be quite a technical talk. And my name is Martin Reinhold. I'm a developer of MyPaint. MyPaint, of course, is written in Python. So Python with extensions written in C++. It's still a small project, only 12,000 lines of code. And it started some 6 years ago and is slowly evolving and gaining some popularity recently. I get sometimes the feedback that the program is quite fast, so I hope to share a bit with you the technique used to make that happen. But first of all, what is all this Python hype all about? Python is just a very nice high-level language. So you can see here the way to walk through a list in code. Do it in C++ or also in C with, for example, C object, and you will end up with a hell lot of code. So Python makes this nice to keep it compact. But there are also drawbacks, of course. One of the drawbacks is speed. So is Python really fast enough? So here, those are some of my experiences. For GUI stuff, of course, things happen in the order of a second. It just doesn't matter how fast it is. It will work. Can also do some stuff in Python for each tile. So usually with raster-based images, you have a tiled image. And for each of those tiles, there are pixels in there. You can't walk through each pixel, but walking through each tile and composited, that's perfectly possible and fast enough in Python. And it's even fast enough to go through something for each motion event. So, for example, when you have a graphic tablet, there are lots of motion events generated per second, and you don't really notice much overhead when you process those motion events in Python. But this is about where it ends. When you have to do things for each pixel, like compositing or scaling or run some interpolation algorithm, then it will be have to be done in a C or C++ to get up to speed. So now there are several tools available to extend Python. And now the upper three ones are those that I know. That I have tried myself. Swig is the most best known one, I think. You'll stumble over that, and it's very good for wrapping an existing library, especially. You just take your C++ header files, and it generates code to make a wrapper. There is also Pyrex at the time when I tried. Is a Python-like language. I will not say much about it. Main reason for me for not using this is it's a special language, and I really like to write in C where I know how to optimize things and not learn an additional language. And in MyPaint, I even used those code generator used from PyGTK. A very specialized code generator. But I got away from that later because I found the G object is a bit too verbose. Here, have a look at C or Boost Python if you are into C++, especially the more advanced stuff like templates and so, will be handled better by those. So what I have settled with now is as Vic mainly, but I'm using it a bit differently than when I started. So here is a very simple example. That's actually all the code you need for a Python extension. You just write a header file, implement your code in a header file, just normal C code, and then you write this I file for Swig that will just tell how the module is called, where to find the file, and include it in C and include it for Swig, and that will work out. So how do you compile this beast? I recommend to use the distutils, which is, I think, the easiest way to get the right compile command, call Swig. So you write this setup script, and you execute it with the buildext command, buildext for build extension. Minus I is to put the result into the current directory, so you can directly use it. Start Python, import it, and call the code that we have wrapped. So I think this is quite a simple way to do this, but it will get a bit more complicated. But for Swig, that's, I think, all you need to know, because Swig goes to great lengths to wrap existing libraries, and it has those type maps, and they are really getting complicated, and things are getting complex when you want to wrap something that is not a... you pass arguments that are not a float or an integer or something, but are a pointer to something, or you return several values. So for this, I would not use Swig, but I use the Python C API directly. And Swig actually supports this. I think this is not known so well, but you can just use that together with Swig. I'll have a short word about the Python C API. First of all, it's just a C API, so there's documentation at python.org. You'll find it, but there's one important concept you'll have to know, that is reference counting. So Python uses a reference count for each object. Those are those py object pointers. And there is a convention who owns those references, so you know when you have to release them or when you have to increment the number of references. And it's quite a simple convention. Basically, when you call a function, the caller always owns the references. So when the function returns a value, it returns a new reference, which the caller is responsible to release. And the other way around, when the caller passes an argument, it will be owned by the caller, and the function does not need to release it. So it's a borrowed reference. So now here comes a bit the more an advanced example. This is, of course, also be parsed by Swig, just as in a header file, as we saw before. You can do a class, you can make public members of the class, and you can see below that you can just access this member from Python. You can just write a value to it. And here we have a member function that returns a PyObject pointer. This is how we use the Python C API. So Swig will not do anything with this pointer. We can just call the function pyBuildValue. This is an example of this API. We pass it a format string. We are passing three integers, and it will return a new reference to a Python dictionary. Oh, no, not a dictionary, a tuple of those three integer values. So in the code below, you see you can use this like you would do in normal Python, return tree values without doing it with pointer magic like you would usually do in C. Now, this is very nice, but there is one important thing for graphic applications especially. There, you need a way to share the pixel data. And you do not want to copy this data. You just want to share the pointer. And for this, there is, at least as I see it, this central numeric Python array class, which just is a Python object wrapping a pointer with information, how it is organized and stuff. And you have those different libraries, Python libraries, Python bindings of ordinary C libraries. For example, GTK PixBuff can do scaling, load PNG images, or the Cairo surface, you can render some vector stuff, draw nice anti-aliased lines, or the PIL image library. They all provide a way to convert their memory into a numeric Python array. And this array we can then access from C. So let's first have a quick word about numeric Python. Numeric Python is just an extension, Python library that allows you to do MUF operations, so adding whole arrays of integers, for example. And here's a little example how we just can create an array of zeros and assign some values there using the Python slicing methods and put some randomness in it, and below you see the picture we get out of that. So now the question is, how do we interface now with our own extension with this numeric Python array? And here I've got a small example for that. It's a function called render. It renders something. It takes, as an argument, it takes a Py object. In Python, everything is a Py object, but actually in there is a numeric Python array. And we pass it some other argument, for example, a radius. And then we can use this API call to get the height and width of that array, for example. And we can make simple casts to get the pointer to the actual data, and then we can loop through all the pixels and it will be fast at speed of C, use all the usual tricks to optimize that. Okay, that's about what I wanted to say about this topic. Now let's move a bit more to analyzing an existing program. This is, I think, an underrated tool to profile Python code. C-profile is pretty much known, but this cprof2 dot makes for a very nice visualization of the result. So I can only recommend you to try this if you are trying to get a feeling what is slow in your Python code, in your Python program. It will get down to the level of the library calls. If you have an extension, you will see the functions of your extension that are executed, but you will not see what C functions they are calling themselves. So this is where it ends. Now for more in-depth profiling, maybe it's not your Python code that is slow, but it's something else, maybe some library has a problem. So for this, I usually do system profiling. OProfile is quite nice for this. It can analyze the whole system, including the kernel, even if you need to. And it will tell you where it spends the execution time. So for example, here I got a profile of my paint doing scrolling. And we see that the actually time is spent in Xorg, not in MyPaint, and not even in the Python extension of MyPaint. But Xorg is using this libpixman to zoom the image, I think. And we see below, there's 20% of the time is still being spent in Python and in the extension library, specific here to MyPaint. And we also see how much time is spent in the C library, for example, filling memory or copying memory is done there. And we can also break this down to the individual symbols, of course. I haven't showed this on this slide. So I recommend to do this if things are going slow. You might be surprised what actually is causing the slowdown. Short word about debugging, a very short word. It's just the same as any debugging Python library, not a C library, I mean. When you have a Python program, you can just start the GNU debugger, for example, or any debugger on the Python binary, and then you start Python. And it will go into your library, and you can get the backtrace, you can set breakpoints, and all that stuff. Okay, now here is a final slide about the memory leaks. That's because I think it's quite important to know if you actually are writing an extension, you will have bugs, of course. And the good thing here is to know where that those bugs usually come from. The most common bug you produce in Python, memory leak, I think, is that you have a reference to some object that is keeping the object alive. So you stored it into some list, but you don't actually need it. And you just, for example, you append to this list, for example, the pixel data of the layers. And it's the list was not meant to store them permanently, but, mistakes happen. And it's a bit hard, actually, to find those kind of bugs. I think, correct me afterwards if you know something, but I think there is no common tool to do this. You can ask Python for a list of all the memory it is managing, all the objects, and you can count the number of instances, but this is a bit tricky and it will be slow. And now another common trap is reference cycles. For this, I have to say Python uses this reference counting, but then there can be an object referencing another one, and that one referencing the first again. So to break those cycles, there is the garbage collector, and the garbage collector can only work if it knows how to call the destructors of those Python objects. And especially in what order. So if you have a reference cycle and both of the objects have a destructor, then Python doesn't know what the order is to call them. And it will, it will not do anything. It will leave the reference alive. Luckily, this is easy to detect. You have just to check the garbage collector module. There is this garbage member. And when it is empty, then it's good. And when there's some stuff in there, then you have a look at it and find out how to break those reference cycles. Danger here is the SWG generates those destructors. So watch out, and you might have to disable it. An obvious bug would be also you forget to decrease the reference count in your C code, but this is quite rare. I mean, often you don't have to handle this at all, and it never happened to me that actually this was the problem. So that's about it. There will be code samples available here on this URL if you want to check out some very small examples. And if there are any questions.
Questions. Thank you very much. Does anyone have a question? There's always, of course, the chance to ask you questions later. Maybe it's the moment to invite the people that have arrived a bit later to come and have a seat. In the meantime, people can think about the questions they might have. Igor, for example, welcome. Yes, there's a question here.
Generally speaking, would you, how do you say, conseiller, say to project to try to work on Python and having interfaces to C, it's something projects should consider, generally speaking?
Yes, I think especially if the project is new. If there is existing code, maybe there's a large C code base. What projects usually seem to do is they do not extend Python, but they embed it. So they call it from the C code. But I would certainly recommend when starting a new project if you want to do this in Python, then extend Python, do not embed Python. But for an existing project, it depends, of course, what the developers want, if they are somewhat familiar with Python, if they like the language. And rewriting the whole application might not be an option.
We have time for one more question, I think. If no? Okay. Well, we can discuss later. Thank you very much.